Before we start today, we'd like to help a listener on her quest to fulfill the four acts of Kanjung Sindura by dedicating this episode to Chen with love from Orr.
Welcome to episode 62 of Sound.Wave, the first podcast to reach planet Earth from Cybertron. I'm Nell, and I'm great at Transformers.
And I'm Greg, and I'm getting better at Transformers.
And this week, we look back at Chaos Theory.
So where's my gosh darn current modern day IDW books? What is this we're looking at?
We are going back to ongoing before this latest bout of ongoing. This we've referred to it a few times in the show before, just because these are the things that happened before the death of Optimus Prime. So
right. So this is prior to the Humble Bundle that kicked off Sound.Wave.
Yes.
Yeah, the still IDW, still those books. I see that big, delicious logo up in the corner.
So good.
Just goes down smooth.
yes.
And I think I recognize this guy on the cover.
He's a guy who shows up every now and again.
Is he Megaton? Is that?
Close. And
I can tell he's handsome.
There's no doubt about that. We're gonna learn some stuff. And you know what? These issues specifically tend to come up in episodes we've done of the show. We do refer to ongoing, it tends to be these two issues in particular. So I'm excited to look back at them.
Right. Well, there's some very familiar material on like the very first page.
Yes.
It's good to cover these, and there's a lot that I did not expect and have questions about, so we will surely get to that in this episode.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited to talk about these. These were kind of mentioned as, like Greg beautifully mentioned at the start of the show, we're on a love mission this week. We're helping out some dear listeners, she had mentioned that they enjoy the Chaos Theory books a whole bunch, and I do too. So who are we
to stand in the way of love?
That's right. We are not those people. We're just going to help. We're not going to stand in the way. But yeah, we're all in luck because these are great books, and I'm very excited to cover them and to have you read them. Specifically, I have a note here about you and what I am excited to hear about your reaction to something.
I'm just excited to push back the Optimus Prime ongoing another week to upset all of our fans.
That's what we were
who
gonna
were
do.
Really hoping we would cover this.
Sorry, everybody, we were going to do that.
We'll get there. Don't worry.
Before we get there, let's take a little trip back.
And so we go to Cybertron before the war, and I immediately recognize this page.
We've seen this exact page before. It's right.
Right. So Elegant Chaos was More Than Meets the Eye. I don't remember the issue numbers. And there was a lot of time travel. And one of the gimmicks that they worked up is pulling up pages from this book. And so we've seen this page. It's Megatron and his buddy, who is Impactor. Is that his name?
That is correct. Yes.
And they're sitting in a bar discussing things. We may recognize the bar.
That's right. This is McAdam's new oil house is where we find ourselves in this moment. Elegant Chaos, I believe the issue that refers back to this specific scene is in issue 37 of More Than Meets the Eye. So for what it's worth, just to give everybody a sense of time here, these books, and I remember specifically when this book came out, this was July of 2011. So this is 3.5 years before Elegant Chaos.
Wow,
just to give everybody a scope here. I was at San Diego Comic-Con when this book dropped, and my dear friend Meg and I were very excited when we read this one. It was a good issue to read.
And we come in on Megatron talking to Impactor, and Impactor's like, I don't know how I feel about all this high-minded poetry you're doing.
Yeah, he's like reading Megatron's
saying, it's not poetry,
notebook.
It's a manifesto. yes, exactly. Yeah,
treatise.
He's saying, yeah.
And so we can see Impactor's holding his little journal, what have you. He's just kind of brushing it off. He's sort of like, oh, Megatron, you are just such a nerd. This isn't... you sure think a lot. You beautiful he's like, warlord
you need to, poet. You need a drill hand so you can start punching dudes in the face with drills.
That's right. Well, and I do just want to, like, of course, these books are going to take us forever because there's so much to look at and to point out.
Sure, but, like, exactly.
I do love that Impactor has five glasses in front of him, and he's clearly drinking something different from whatever Megatron is drinking out of his one glass. Just a cute little
presumably note. Heavier.
I would guess, yeah.
And so is this the first appearance of Rung, as far as we know? Or was Rung in...
I believe Rung was mentioned in... I believe he was mentioned within the text of Last Unit of the Wreckers, but I think this might be our first appearance of him.
There he is. He's certainly a teensy boy.
He's
we know
a
that.
Little. Well, and... right. So, like, and I'm going to keep getting ahead of myself reading these because I'm so excited. Especially going back to them now. Because even if we just step outside of this situation right now, because we know what's happening here. Impactor and Megatron are discussing the fact that Megatron is a writer. This is before... We're going to see in these books what made Megatron make the choices he... Right. Ends up making. But at this point, he's closer to the Megatron that we know now in Lost Light and in as the captain of the Lost Light. This is...
Yes. Pre-war, he's...
Yeah. Like, he's now closer to the bot that is known better by readers in this day and age. But even it's fun to, like, look at this now and realize the other... Rod and them are there. Like, Tailgate and Cyclone, like, they're all hanging out in this bar. We can't see them right now.
They're in this room right now.
But they're here, and it's something that you would never know the first time reading it.
Nor would you know that Rung matters at all. Here he is.
Because he certainly didn't when we were first reading it in that hotel room. Back in July of 2011.
You were like, tell me more about this Rung guy.
I'm like, but who's this small orange one? He seems like he's going to be very important and create a whole alternate universe.
I'll bet he's a drill.
I bet he transforms into something none of us could even imagine. We have a name drop of the Knights of Cybertron, which of course we have seen all of this. But at this point, that wasn't a thing yet.
Like, so this is, I can't imagine James being like, I hope someday I get to work off these things. It's either that or he was assigned More Than Meets the Eye and he's like, oh shit, I need to go back and see what I did to follow up on that. And he's just like pissing out like, Knights of Cybertron, sure, we'll go with that.
That's a name I made up. Great. Throw him back in here. I'm under the impression, and of course I don't know for sure because I haven't. I I'm not a part of any of these processes, so how could I possibly know? But I am under the impression that he did, that they knew More Than Meets the Eye was going to happen.
Okay.
Because these are only 9-8 issues before the death of Optimus Prime. So this is...
Okay, yeah, that would be... They would at least have ideas for what More Than Meets the Eye. It would be forming at this point.
Yes. So,
sort of as this book is coming out.
Right. Like the idea of Rodimus taking a crew to do something. So you can tell, though, like, seeds are being planted very much in this book. And again, I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but there is so much here that just won't come to bloom for years. And if we think back to when this came out in July... And there are all these things, like, when I'm like, oh, we just rolled with it. It was a bunch of stuff where you just kind of hand-waved, and we were like, I guess it's pre-war Cybertron. I don't know what these things are. Who cares?
Sure.
Let's just keep reading. Everybody's written so well in this that I'm going to not worry too much about the fact that some of these things don't make sense to me.
And so we do see Megatron and Impactor talking, and Impactor says, listen, Megatron, the only two things I care about are drinking and making sure dudes don't fall on the table I'm drinking on.
And shoot.
Wouldn't you know it?
We know that Rung was trying to get a curly straw for Tailgate, who whined when he didn't get a curly straw, and... He's now been thrown into their table.
Tossed. And now Impactor is like, oh, that's one of my two things. And he gets out the drill. He's like, I'm going to fight these dudes.
He's going to do it. Megatron remains sitting, of course. And we know, as modern readers, he hides under the table. He doesn't want a part in this. Rod makes fun of him. And I say, Rod, don't be mean. Anyway.
Well, and then we cut to the present day, which is to say about 3 years ago.
Almost,
probably more than that, right?
Almost 6 years ago.
There you go.
Yeah. And so, okay, so the scene here, the present day here, we see Omega Supreme flying through space. That's what he looks like when he's not in the mode that we see him
now
set up on Cybertron. And when he's not a robot.
It's a hefty boy.
Yeah, for sure. So a couple of the bots are on Omega Supreme and they're flying through space. And they have Megatron captive. He surrendered 4 or 5 issues before this. Maybe not that many. But just before this, like, the reason he's with them now is because he has this big fancy new body. The waves made for him. And,
right.
Yeah, he and Optimus had, like, a showdown, and they tried to, like, shoot him from, like, a satellite in space, and it didn't do anything, and Optimus freaked out on him and, like, lost his mind and, like, tried to beat him. Of course he couldn't. And so Megatron went to the Autobots with Optimus and was like, yeah, here's your leader, and I surrender. Which, of course, is super suspicious, which we see a lot in these books of them being like, why? What is this? What's he playing with?
Sure.
So that's the setting.
It's the plot to the Lego Batman movie for everyone who's seen that.
I haven't seen it.
It opens with the Joker surrendering. So there you go. First act, everybody. And yes, Ratchet is saying, like, look, let's just, like, cut him open to be sure.
Right. Like,
and Perceptor is saying, well, we can't do that because there's, like, Geneva conventions. Right. Space Geneva conventions.
You can't just take him apart, Ratchet. Which, like, you have to respect. Ratchet's like, this dude is the most dangerous person we've ever heard of. We should probably make sure he can't do anything. I do love that Perceptor mentions that Megatron has an unusually bright spark. And that means something to all of us now.
Yes.
It didn't really back then.
He is a 0.1 percenter spark.
Yeah, we've seen him just a little baby. We were there when he was born. So Ratchet, of course, is like, no, we can't. He's willing to kind of overstep to make sure Megatron is going to be
not going to murder everyone on board. Yes, that's a big one.
Yeah. Perceptor's a little more like, no, we got to abide by some rules here.
Well, and Ratchet's even saying, you know about the black hole thing, though, right?
Yeah.
And Perceptor's saying, like, what are you talking about? He's like, legend has it that
I've
he can
heard tell.
And Perceptor's like, I'm going to stop you there. Legend has it is not a sentence you as a medical professional should ever say.
Which is a good point on Perceptor's part. But it's so funny because we know it's true. Homeboy can do that. He can just summon dark matter.
Ratchet says he can siphon antimatter from a black hole.
Yeah, that's true.
And Perceptor says, with respect, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
He really does say that.
You're being a real idiot right now, Ratchet.
I love when the intellectuals get together. And especially, of course, when James writes them, because the banter. This is like the start of the banter that now we all love so fiercely. But they do, in the midst of them being hilarious and smarty pants with each other, they do mention the fact that Zarin he's kind of overseeing Megatron's rights as their prisoner, which we know of Zarin. He's actually on board the Lost Light. He's that all gold robot. He was on that
I
panel.
Remember him.
Yeah.
He's the lawyer guy, right?
He's what?
The lawyer guy.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I remember Zarin.
So, yeah, we see him in these books, and so he's the one who's kind of making sure, and he's the one to whom Perceptor is referring the fact that, like, no, we can't just, you can't harass and torture our prisoner.
And we do cut to these bots out here looking down from the sort of medical theater. There's Zarin, there's Optimus, and who's this third bot?
Ironhide.
And Zarin is saying, wow, he's huge, he really got an upgrade. And Optimus says, new body, but the face never changes. Never underestimate the vanity of tyrants. Hey, Optimus, when's the last time you changed your face, huh? Can I ask you that?
That is a pretty funny line. We're like, honey, you have had the
you
same
have had
face.
The same look since the 80s.
Come on, man. You can't go calling other people out like that. It's true. You're not wrong.
And Optimus is like, hey, I was a gorilla once. I'm like, that was a different guy. Come on.
It is now. Yes, so it is a funny little jab. But you, yeah, it doesn't really make any sense because Optimus... Let's be real.
Whatever. Optimus says a bunch of things to get on my nerves this issue. I'm gonna whatever.
I'm so interested to get your thoughts on so many things in these books. there's some. We get some exposition here, and like, Oh, Zarin is here. He and Perceptor came over from Kimia, which we all know is now crashed in Cybertron. The gun of which the Decepticons. That's where they were being held. It's a smarty pants ship, Kimia. And so that's why they're here. They've rendezvoused with them. And it is interesting because then Optimus, because of course they're just kind of talking about the fact that they have Megatron. And Zarin was saying how huge he is. And Optimus says that everybody's been lining up just to look at him. And it's a little play here. He says you'd think he was a Matrix bearer lying in state, which of course... that's a reference to like Shadow Play. These are events that later end up being things that happen, or that we hear about happening. So, then Zarin is kind of like, all right, well, I'm gonna go find the best boy in these comics. I'm gonna go find Wheeljack. And let him know that there's a workshop on Kimia going spare, which, if people have read Last Stand of the Wreckers, we can hold hands and have our hearts broken together at him saying that. But I'll leave it ambiguous.
I appreciate that. Ironhide is saying, like, hey, Optimus, what's on your mind? Why don't you tell me and the readers?
Yeah, I can tell Optimus you're a pouty boy, like, under there.
Hey, it's weird that he surrendered, right? And everyone's like, yeah, man, it's real weird that he surrendered. That's not a thing he does.
Right. This is a new thing.
And Optimus says, he probably is just tired of all the fighting. Like, I am, I bet.
Optimus, oh, there's so much to love about him in these movies. There's a lot of, like, back and forth when you just want to be like, really, babe? And then there are other times when you're, like, super hype about him. But Ironhide is saying to him, he's like, I can tell when you're pouting. And also, I mean, I get that you're kind of afraid and nervous to go talk to him. He's a big, handsome man. I get it. And Optimus is like, hold on. I'm not nervous.
I'm also big and handsome, by the way.
Come on, Ironhide. Game recognized game. I'm not afraid of that guy.
He says, Megatron has always been my responsibility and in many respects my greatest failure. Whoa,
he's
where did that
like
come
a
from?
Like a
fuck you, dude!
Like just a disappointed parent.
And so we cut to, again, pre-war Cybertron. Megatron is in jail. There's a guy saying, Megaton? He's like, Megatron. And I guess the running joke is just that timid bots get their names mispronounced all the time.
Oh, it's true. I didn't even think about that. Megatron and Rung.
There you go. The buddy like, comedy we never knew we needed.
Oh my God. I want it so badly. That's not my name. They sing that Ting Ting song. I do want to point out there's graffiti in his cell and some graffiti says peace through tyranny.
Right.
So, and again, this is still just like soft poet Megatron. He didn't write that.
As far as we know.
As far as we know. That's true. Maybe there's another version of Megatron running around. And we don't even know it yet.
Like six story arcs from now, they're going to come back here. And so this bot is saying, like, hey, are you forged or coal constructed? He's reading off information trying to, like, basically get him in the system. Were you forged or coal constructed? Megatron says, I don't think that's important, is it?
And the bot here, whose name is Springarm, is like, no, it must be an old question. We can ignore that one. But it's, again, you guys, this is huge because him... Even the questions he's asking Megatron, he says, that's weird. There's no badge code. And that's why he asks if he was forged or constructed cold. And we know why he doesn't have a badge code. But at the time, you just waved it off. We didn't think much of it. We were just like, I don't know why he doesn't have one. Who cares? Let's get on with the story. What else is about to happen here? And now we know all of these things.
They all have reasons.
They all have reasons. we were so naive. We just took this dude's hand. James Roberts showed up and was like, trust me. And I went, okay. And I didn't think twice. I was like, yep, you wrote cool stuff in Last Stand. I trust you. Let's go. I didn't even question it.
And so Megatron says, where's Impactor, my buddy, my friend?
Yeah.
And he's saying, oh, he got the heck beat out of him, so he's in the hospital. But so did those two dudes that you two beat up. And Megatron is saying, I didn't beat anybody up, but are they going to be okay? And then, I don't recognize this guy. Who's he? Is he new?
a brand new bot we've never seen before. Darkens the doorway of the
great design. I'll tell you that. Beautiful, beautiful design there. Not sure who this is.
What were you thinking when you first saw it? It's Whirl, by the way, for anybody who's
yes, it's Whirl. I was thinking, oh shit, this is gonna be tough to talk about because I know what's going to happen here. He's as we'll get to later in the issue, Whirl's about to beat the shit out of Megatron, which is an instigating event for like all the shit that happens there forward.
For literally everything. Yeah.
And it's like, I've talked about my Whirl feelings at great length. I don't feel I need to retread that ground.
No, but that's exactly why, like, because my note here does say, at last, Greg gets to Whirl's intro, like his proper intro.
So is this the first time Whirl has been present, or was he present in, I thought he was a Wrecker.
He was. So, but during the events of Last Stand of the Wreckers, he was not.
Okay.
So he is not part of like that crew, but we do. There's a flashback that happened in there, so we see Whirl, and we actually.
Okay.
Interestingly enough, and I think it's been confirmed, but in the text stories that James wrote, because I don't know how much of either of them did the story for Last Stand, but Nick and James wrote Last Stand together. And then all the text that went along with it, like the text stories, were written by James. So within there, we learn about another bot who, it's kind of revealed later, was Whirl under a different name. So he's got a few different roles, but this is the intro. Like, this is, I want to say, our proper intro.
Sure. I'll tell you. He looks a lot more like every other robot with all that shit on him.
Yeah.
He's bulky here almost.
Yeah. He's big. He doesn't have the long face.
Right. He's not spindly. Which I'll
say a lot of, like, all of the Whirl figures, like all the Whirl toys look like Wrecker Whirl, look like this one.
Right. And that's fine, what I've noticed.
But I want Lost Light Whirl.
Well, my guess is it's probably a lot easier to A, make a mold of this one, and B, make this one transform.
True, true. Which, and I totally get it. I've never built a transforming robot toy. I imagine it takes a great deal of skill in like figuring out how it's all going to move and everything. I totally get that. I still want a beautiful modern day Whirl.
Make it happen, Hasbro.
Or third-party people, just, you know.
And so we'll certainly get back to this, and at that point I'll sort of go into everything there.
Yeah. We cut to Megatron in a different cell now.
Yes.
We go back to him.
Tends to get thrown in jail a lot.
That boy can't stay out of jail. But now we're back with Omega Supreme.
Yes, we see Optimus sort of standing outside, and then he tries to do some lunges before going in.
I love that. This frame is so good.
I know that he's like mentally gearing himself up, and it's all silhouetted, and it's very like intense. But to me, it looks like, ooh, gotta stretch out these hammies.
You could just flip it, and it would totally look like he's about to do like a kick. Like a kickstand, like up against a wall or something.
Yeah, if you just rotate it 90 degrees, he's like, yeah. I'm going to do a handstand, everybody watch.
Yeah, here I go. Everybody watch, are you watching? But yes, it is him just kind of like, because we see him looking through the window at Megatron, and then the very next panel is him silhouetted, leaning like his forearms against, or like his hands against the door, and like kind of just leaning his weight, and the way he carries himself in that pose, I think that's why I like it. It's for being a still image, it gives us a lot of body language.
Yes, it conveys quite a bit. And Optimus says, Omega, give us some privacy. And so all the bots outside who are watching are like, gosh darn it,
they get the curtains closed on them, like, no peeking.
But guess what? They also have their ear against the door.
They totally do. They have their cups. Do love that Ratchet and Wheeljack are like, oh, man, you owe me money. I knew he was going to close the door on us. And they're just cute and smart, and I like them. We see a lot of boys we like in this panel. They were all keen to listen to the convo that was about to happen.
It's a pretty important one.
It's a big one.
We go inside and we get the requisite panel of Prime and Megatron sort of tough guying against each other here.
Megatron, by the way, is suspended very similarly to the way we saw Overlord. Not the exact same, but similarly, where he's suspended. And we know he's hooked up to an electrical harness, I think is what they were saying.
The variable voltage harness.
So, and that was kind of where, Perceptor was like, no, we can't. I mean, if we need to, we can shock him, but that would be torture if it isn't.
if it's not warranted.
Yes.
Optimus is saying, like, all right, are you going to be nice? And Megatron is like, what are you fucking kidding me? I'm Megatron. Hey.
First of all, no.
Yeah, first of all, no. Second, what do you think I could do? Look at me right now.
Right. Like, and he mentions again, he's like, you could just kill me if you wanted to. Like, I'm hanging here. I could be electrocuted just for making a face at you.
And Optimus says, well, can't argue with that. Let's him out.
He's like, that's fair. That's fair. We're both civil men. I will release you from your shackles.
Good point. Good point. No arguments there.
Game recognized game. Let's have a seat.
And Megatron indeed does. Yeah, Megatron sits down across from him.
And he sits the way, and this is a way that Alex has drawn him time and time again since this, but he immediately, like, look at the way that the boy carries himself. He sits, does the leg cross, puts his hands behind
reclines.
His head. Yeah, he's very relaxed.
He's like, yeah, I own the room.
Yeah, it's a power move.
It's absolutely a power move. And Optimus is saying, like, so why are you here?
Yeah, what
and,
is this?
Yeah, Megatron says, like, we already talked about this. And Optimus is like, no, you just made me mad and then I hit you. This is always what happens.
What happened? And Megatron ignores him, wants to know what's going on with the Decepticons. And Optimus is like, forget about your kids for a second.
He's like, we're not talking about any of that today. Today we're talking about what I want to talk about.
Yeah. We have babysitters. This is us. We're the only ones who exist right now.
And he says, you know.
Well, because Optimus says this is a conversation that we've put off for too long. Like, yes. Megatron, you and I need to wrap. This has been, we've been putting this off and putting this off. We keep rescheduling. Megatron's
Let me see
like,
where your head's at.
I'm just a busy guy. I kill a lot of people. What can I say?
And he says, Optimus is saying, like, you kill a lot of people. That sounds like an evil thing to say. You know that, right? Megatron's like, yeah, dog, I'm super evil. I love hating things. That's like my whole thing.
That's
a matter of fact, I don't do anything but hate things anymore.
He does mention, he says he lives to hate. It sustains him. He says, sometimes I wonder if there's anything else left. Lust, rage, ambition, I've moved beyond them all. Which confirms lust exists in Cybertronians. Just throwing that out there. Confirmation, everybody. As if we didn't know. But you know, like, canonically.
Yes. And he says that there's only two things that he's always had, which is hate and Optimus Prime.
And that's romantic.
Yeah, so I guess lust still does exist.
He hasn't lost one of them completely. And when he says that, yeah, the only things that are still constant for him are Optimus and hate, Optimus is like, oh, I'm surprised we're not just one and the same to you now, these days. And Megatron's like, listen, Optimus, I don't hate you. Like, you do dumb shit, and I hate the stuff that you do.
I hate everything you do. I don't hate
you. I'm down. You're fine. This is
the plot of the Lego Batman movie now in theaters. Like, the Joker spends the whole movie trying to get Batman to say that, yes, I hate you and you're my greatest villain.
So you're telling me that the people who created the Batman Lego movie read these books.
Correct.
And wrote their script to mirror.
100% yes.
Gotcha.
So it's secretly the Lego Batman movie is the best Transformers movie of all time.
Good to know. There you go, everybody. Let's all go see the Lego Batman movie after this.
There you go. And Optimus is like, I don't know if I hate you.
Yeah,
I think I do, but like it's complicated.
Megatron, I feel a lot of things about you. I do like how, and we can tell, even at this point, of course, because art styles change constantly. Artists are constantly just, you know, evolving how they draw and everything. But this is an earlier Alex. So of course everybody looks great. They always do. But I do like his Optimus. He, even with the face mask, he looks a little surprised.
Yeah, he looks confused.
Like, yeah, he's a little caught off guard when Megatron asks, do you hate me? Like, because Megatron says to Optimus, I get why you are trying to stop me. Like, you make sense to me. So no, I don't hate you because I get it. I get what you're doing. I just don't like what you're doing. And then, yeah, he turns around. He's like, Optimus, what about you? How do you feel about me? Do you hate me? And Optimus says, yes. And then he immediately says no, because he just doesn't know. Do you like me? Yes, no, maybe.
He cannot hate because he's lessened by it. And Megatron is like, oh my God, have you always sucked this bad?
Megatron is over it. Like, jeez.
He's like, it must suck being Optimus Prime, always being such a hero. And Optimus is like, you don't know me. And Megatron's like, oh yeah, I do, better than everybody.
That's right.
Which, again, I hate that I keep having to say this. There's a scene in the Lego Batman exactly like this.
I will have to go. Maybe I'll go see that this weekend.
Perfect. I recommend it. And Optimus is saying, like, you gotta be tired of this, right? Like, you don't like this war, do you?
Right. Optimus keeps getting, like, and, you know, he was saying this even before he got into this room with Megatron. Optimus wants for Megatron to want this to be done. Because Optimus wants this to be done. Optimus doesn't want to keep fighting this war. He's frustrated that it's still going. He's frustrated that nothing has happened, really, for either one of them. Like, it's just this, you know, he says it's the monotony of all of it. They're just going back and forth, and nothing
There's
really
no progress
happens.
Being made.
Yeah. And there's this really great splash panel where he talks about the fact that the Galactic Council has turned their back on the Cybertronian race, and that everybody else in the universe is just disgusted and horrified by them. So we're getting some cool universe building here that we really weren't getting outside of the war, within these books. Like, we weren't getting, because of course now we all know about, of course, yes, the Galactic Council.
Right, there's all kinds of shit outside of Cybertron.
All these other races who do know about the Cybertronians and want nothing to do with them. But at this point, that wasn't really an established thing.
We get this cool splash page with a lot of information on here. I recognize all these characters, or at least a good chunk of them.
Yeah,
not all of them.
But a good amount of stuff that has happened in the books to this point, and yeah, it's really cool. It's a really great panel.
And Megatron is saying, like, maybe you're bored of it, but it's just getting good. Like, now fighting's happening where we go centuries without a single shot, and now there's all kinds of stuff. And Optimus is like, yeah, but like, why? What are we trying to do here?
Right. In Optimus' mind, Optimus is fighting to stop Megatron, but he doesn't get why Megatron. He thought he knew what Megatron was fighting for, but he's kind of, by surrendering himself, he's kind of thrown a wrench into everything. That's what Optimus is so hung up on here, is the fact that that's where he has this kind of spark of hope in his mind. Like, maybe this is the beginning of the end, which we know ultimately is. But at this
point, in a sense,
it sort of is. But, you know, not immediately at this point. But yeah, so Megatron has completely thrown him off, and he's really just trying to get some sort of understanding here. So he even says to Megatron, he's like, Let's sit and pretend for a second. Close your eyes and pretend that you've won.
Congratulations.
You did it. You're wearing a flower crown. What does it look like? What does it mean?
And Megatron says, absolute control over everything forever and ever, and Cybertron being the best forever and ever. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And Optimus is like, that sounds fake. I don't I don't think a mechanical master race is what you're going for.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's still not buying it.
So saying like, okay, let's go even further. I'm dead. There's no Autobots.
Great job.
Every planet, like your space racism is won. There's only mechanized stuff, and you're the god emperor of everything. Now what? And then Megatron says like, well, then we start making the world better for people. We usher in a golden age where there's no conflict. Everyone's needs are met. There's no unhappiness. And peace through tyranny. And Optimus says, what about autonomy, personal responsibility, and free will? And Megatron says, those won't be missed. Which, okay, we're going to have to spend a couple hours discussing this.
Yeah, sure.
So this is probably the best point to discuss this. It was very weird for me to meet this Megatron, because I don't think I ever really have.
Absolutely. Well, and that was my thought, too, reading these books. I was like, this is not a Megatron. Anybody who's only read from the death of Optimus Prime onward, you guys haven't met this Megatron. Not really. Like, you sort of glimpse him in Dark Cybertron. Like, a little bit.
Sure. There's very little stuff where he...
He's kind of working back to this point before he's suddenly like, oh, God. What the hell? Okay, sorry, everybody. Sorry. I'm going to chill out now.
Where does all of this come from? Is it just like, oh, Megatron's a space racist? Or like, is there an instigating event for all of that? Or is that just...
They kind of discussed it a little bit. Because I know we've talked about it even on the show before. They discussed... Because even Megatron in More Than Meets the Eye... still had to get over his space racism.
Sure.
He was still harboring this idea that organic races were just lesser, which was why it was like a big deal when they were on Sincere's planet and they initially thought that everybody in the pods
right.
were
organics. Yeah, I remember
this.
And
they were like, oh, Megatron isn't going to sacrifice these. So yes, so it's... And I know they mentioned it. Gosh, who was it? Was it with Megatron or was it with, like, Galvatron? What point was it where they were talking about... At some point, they're talking about where this idea came from. And it was because back a million years ago, I think it was actually with the Titan, maybe. With little tiny Titan.
Sure.
I don't even really remember. Sorry, everybody. I can't conjure up the exact time. There are a couple space races in these books. I get
the running theme.
But... It was essentially that organic species had kind of pushed, like, stepped on these technological species, these cybertronic.
Well, to be fair, organic species are just gross. They're just nasty.
Yeah.
There's all liquid coming out of them. And
well, these guys have liquid, too.
Covered in hair.
They don't have
yeah,
hair,
but, like,
true.
All the liquid is in, like, a closed circuit. They don't.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're reading fan fiction.
That'll be a different episode. But right. So it was established, though, that it's something that has just kind of... I mean, and I could be wrong about all of this, but that's my understanding, is that the Cybertronians who have this idea that they have a grudge against organic species, it's because earlier on... there was, you know, there was conflict between organic,
sure.
other organic planets and the techno planets or species. And
okay, that's fair enough.
I think, and again, I might be completely making that up, but I think that's for that specific question. I think
if
that's
there's
why
one
he,
thing us organics are really good at, it's taking over other people's sovereign territory.
Uh huh. I mean, that is true. That is
and
true.
And so this other stuff of like. Shedding personal responsibility, autonomy, and free will. That also doesn't sound like the Megatron I necessarily know.
Sure.
I mean, that sounds more like Prowl.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Well, and that's such an interesting... God, I'm so glad we do a show. I could talk about Transformers forever. Interestingly enough, prior to these issues, Prowl kind of wanted a one-on-one with Megatron, and I was dying for that.
Just sure.
They talked about it. I was like, yeah, get these people in the same room together. But no, you're right. That's kind of the interesting thing. Prowl has become such almost like a parody of everything he was against because, you know, it is one of those things. You live long enough to become the villain. It's kind of the situation. I would say Prowl has found himself in that situation now. Whereas Megatron has gone the opposite direction.
He's redeemed himself in a sense.
And especially for people who are reading More Than Meets the Eye and Lost Light, it's like, oh no, Megatron is our sweet hero. We love him. He's our champion. Which, if you're me, you've always thought that anyway. You were just kind of like,
So to get back to it, Optimus is saying, like, well, you know, I want everything to be good too. And Megatron's like, I'm gonna cut you off right there. Shut up. Yeah. You're stupid and you want the wrong stuff.
He kind of snaps back at him, which I'm glad, because Optimus is saying, well, first of all, and I do want to take a step back to that panel where we get Megatron's like, I've done it. No more Autobots exist. And his vision of Cybertron, it's all bright and people are happy. And it is, you know, because when Optimus is giving him the idea, he sees Megatron on a throne of decapitated Autobots. And it's not fun to look at because I love those guys. But in Megatron's vision, it's nice. It's a good ending. And he does say the real work begins, and this is just another little tidbit thing. He says, it begins with repopulation, with the rebirth of the Cybertronian race, which, if we remember back to the Infiltration Protocol, which is what the Phase Sixers were sent out to enact, Phase Seven was the one that nobody knew what it was. Like, nobody knew what a number of the phases were. And then they were like, oh, there's a seventh phase. And that was always repopulation. So just an interesting thing that was always kind of established that was Megatron's, that was Phase Seven.
And just to drive the point home, in that same panel, he says, a golden age, it'll put the Knights of Cybertron to shame. So
another reference to the Knights of Cybertron, who, again, I don't think were a thing yet at this time, besides them mentioning them. But yes, so Optimus is saying, like, you want these things.
But as a white liberal, and so Megatron says, shut up. You're not willing to actually fight for them. You just want to, like, you think the Senate is going to actually make things work, whereas I knew that it wouldn't, and you can't work within the system to change the system, because the system is designed to prevent you from changing itself. Read a book sometime, Prime.
God, Prime. He delivers this really, really just killer line where he says, freedom is the right of all sentient beings, which is, of course, what Optimus says. He's turning it back on him.
That's his thing.
He says, where the hell were you when Cybertronians like me were forced to work in the mines just because we were made that way? And, like, that is a fucking mic drop moment.
And Optimus' response is, well, I was young.
Listen, it was a different time.
And he's saying, like, let's forget about all that. But, you know, don't you remember all the fun times we had? He said, do you remember the first time we met?
He asks about the first time they met, which is very romantic. And Megatron names a battle, the battle for Sherma Bridge, which we know about Sherma Bridge. And Optimus, instead of going off of his first question, he's like, oh shit, that was a hell of a battle, wasn't it? You cost me an entire army. And they have this really, really great banter that I just remember being in love with the first time I was reading this. I was like, this is exactly how I want these two to talk to each other. So this was my introduction to being like, can this guy write everything, please? Because I really like what's happening here. Optimus goes back and he's like, no, we had met before that battle. He says they met at Rhydion before Nominus Prime, which, of course, we know about
that
Nominus Prime business.
And Megatron saying, like, oh, was that it? You must not have made a very big impression on me.
You must have been so small to me, Prime.
And then Megatron just keeps talking about the bridge.
He goes right back to being like that, but for real, man, that battle. Well, and it's really great because this panel that is showing their battle, he says that their entire, like, all the troops just stopped and watched them fight.
Yeah, like, on the bridge, all of the Autobots are on one side and all of the Decepticons are on the other side. And they're just fucking, like, boxing on this bridge. Rock'em robots.
Well, and this is where it gets even better. For anybody who's not super familiar or at all familiar with the the original cartoon. This is straight up a scene from, like, the second episode. There's this fight on the Sherman Dam that looks just like this. And it's just Optimus with his axe, which we can see there. And Megatron has, like, he's got, like, this, it's like a mace kind of thing. And they're both fighting on the dam. So it's, this is an absolute just exact callback to that, because yeah, the Autobots and the Decepticons are just watching. We can even see like Starscream and Thundercracker on Megatron's side and Skywarp. But yeah, so it was just, it's fun to see this panel and be like, hey, I've seen this before back in the 80s. So it was a cute little callback.
I'll take it.
Yeah. But yeah, Megatron just keeps talking about this battle, and then they have really great banter because he's like, oh right, Optimus cut off his arm. And Optimus is like, wait, which arm? I don't. He's like, the McCannon arm. You always go for that one.
Which one do you think? Come Those on, aren't man. Cheap, dude.
And you know it. You go for that every time. And then they just start accusing each other of like, well, it's not as bad as the time that you ended up wearing the same dress as me at a Shockwave's party.
Optimus says, you threw me off the bridge, and it took them 6 weeks to put me together again, and...
They talk about Hal's Point. And, oh, there's Megatron's weapon that he's got.
Yeah, it's got that big mace, the Morningstar flail type thing. And trapping him in the antimatter chamber. And, you know. And
you can, like, hear the humor in their voices when they're like, you did this really shitty thing to me. And then you did this really shitty thing to me. My people had to put me back together it took them months. I was nearly dead. You almost cut me in half that one time.
Right. The Vorsk offensive sliced me from shoulder to crotch. Shoulder to crotch. Megatron says crotch twice.
Twice.
And, you know, all kinds of stuff. It's a lot of battles. Are any of these poignant to mention? Like, are any of these other ones from things? Or are they just like, these guys kill each other a lot?
Yep, it's all just right, these cool. two. Well, and I'm sure some of these are specifics that I'm just not. But as far as I know, it's really just, I don't think it's anything I'm like, if you pay attention, this is going to become important again. Or, you know, nothing like that. I really do think it's just... it says these two almost joking with each other about how awful they've been.
And they both just go, they both kind of give each other that little sigh.
I love that panel so much. Megatron does remind Optimus of the time that he was stuck in a gun mode for 2 years, which is hilarious. That'll solve all their problems. Just keep him as a gun.
Just keep him a gun.
Just keep him there. But yeah, they have their little sigh like, oh God, we are funny, aren't we?
And so Optimus is like, you know, we could just end the war right now. That's like totally doable, right? Like you just say you want to end it, we can end it. And Megatron's like,
And Megatron doesn't. Yeah, because Optimus tells him, look me in the eye and say you want it to end and it will end. And Megatron very pointedly is not looking at him. He is
looks turned away.
And it is heavy. It's a moment. And so Optimus, of course, that's it. I mean, that's the answer. So he gets up and he lets Megatron know that everybody on board wants to see him dead. And probably the Decepticons too, let's be real. And again, Megatron wants to know what Optimus wants. It's like, do you want to see me dead? He's very good at turning this back around on him. Optimus doesn't know what he wants.
And Optimus just says, I just want to know why you surrendered. And Megatron says, does that matter? And he says, yeah. It's like, well, all right, bye.
Yeah, sure, maybe. Who knows?
And so we cut to the meeting of Autobot High Command.
Ooh.
An emergency session.
Yes. Emergency meeting of Autobot High Command. They're all looking at a picture of Megatron, of a hologram of him, to be like, he is big and handsome. Don't forget, this is our prisoner. Here's what he looks like, everybody. Magnus, you're paying attention. Just wait a couple years. This will matter. I see you over there.
Really? You know what? Just download this hologram and look at it in your own time. Really, just get a feel for it.
It's so funny when I think back to reading this. There's no way in hell I ever would have been like, yeah, those two. And now I'm like, they're married and they love each other. But yes, so sorry, everybody. They are, the Autobot High Command is meeting, and they have, the reason Magnus is even here is because he's here also through hologram. He and Prowl and Bumblebee are not on board Omega Supreme. They are still on Earth. So they are here remotely. And they're all just kind of discussing,
right?
What are the
how do we have a trial for Megatron?
The trial for Megatron and Zaron.
Lame. Already heard it, everybody.
We have
already been through one of those.
Yawn. We know how this goes. Decepticons wreck up the place.
I imagine when Dark Cybertron was happening, it was in this again.
Oh God, you guys. But in this one's interesting because Zaron is straight up being like, we need to turn him over to a third party because if we handle this internally, like, listen, you guys, the rest of the universe hates us. They
right.
think we are the worst. So if we want anybody to respect us ever, we should have a third party be the ones to hold the trial for Megatron because they will be impartial. Whereas he knows that it's impossible for them to be.
Right. And everybody's kind of saying, like, well, who exists outside of the war, like, that doesn't hate us? And Magnus says, well, Chief Justice Syrus, who we will meet later.
Yes. He'd been mentioned before. And, like, this, because they even say on this next panel, Prowl's saying they haven't heard from Tyrus since the Equidus trials, which is the thing in
right.
Last Stand, and yeah, all these things. Anything James touches, you just pay attention because it's going to be important again.
You're going to have the wiki open.
Yes. Essentially they're saying Tyrus is a fine idea. We don't know where he is. So it's essentially just them just trying to figure out what do we do with this guy. And we have Zaron saying, if he's found guilty, how do you punish? Like, is he imprisoned or is he killed? So there are a lot of questions, a lot of things that they're discussing here.
And Bumblebee says, well, why do we need to decide that now? And Zaron's saying, like, because you guys are the ones who have to decide it. And so,
right,
because the prosecution decides the sentence. And Prowl is saying, well, let's kill him. And Ultra Magnus is also saying, yeah, we should kill him, definitely, because I'm having a lot of confusing feelings that I don't want to confront. And Bumblebee is saying, like, look, that's not the Autobot thing to do.
Yeah, and Bumblebee's being a good boy.
And Optimus turns around and goes, I don't remember asking you motherfuckers a goddamn thing.
Exactly. Poignant. Exactly what he says. And yeah, which I mean is true. He's like, I don't know
right.
why any of you think. I mean,
yeah,
he what? Isn't. Like,
and everybody else is like, because we're the Autobot High Command and we decide these
right.
things.
Like, you are not our dictator, Prime. That's why we all think we have some sort of say in this.
And Prime says, Megatron is my boy. I'll make the decision here.
I'm the one who failed as a mother here. I'm the one who will decide what happens to him. But even
Rod
and course,
is like, hey,
yeah,
are you
Rod
sure?
Drops a bombshell.
How can we be confident that you'll make the right decision? And Rod reveals, by the way, we all heard you talking to him. You did not turn off the audio feed.
You fool, Optimus Prime. So he closed all the curtains, but he left the window wide open and everybody could hear them joking around. And sharing their stories, and
Optimus
Rod even
says
we could hear
out.
You. It was getting a little cozy.
Yeah, y'all were flirting a lot, and Optimus was like, "Oh my god, I can't believe you read my diary. Get out of my room."
He slams he hangs up on everybody from Earth, so they just disappear because that's what happens when you hang up a hologram phone,
right?
And then he does look very sulky. He like full on sits and puts his face in his hands.
And then we go back in time.
Yep. We're going back to Megatron's cell before
yeah,
the war.
Yeah. Whirl is just beating the shit out of Megatron here.
Just beating the shit out of him.
And he's kind of doing some shtick. He's saying, like, boy, you're awfully quiet even though I'm punching you a lot.
It just makes me want to punch you more. Well, and he mentions the fact that, like, oh, those cadets that got beaten up at the bar, those were some of his friends. So then that's why he's got to do this.
Right. It's my job to beat you up because of that. Yeah. I mean, It's not good.
No, it's not. And yeah, Whirl is saying, because Megatron isn't reacting. He's not saying anything. He's not retaliating at all. So, and even then, Whirl is saying that, basically, I'm going to beat you to death. And when they find you, I will say you slipped your bonds and it was self-defense. And they're going to believe me and you will be dead and it won't matter because you're another.
Because who are you?
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's bad. It's really bad. So you can hopefully now appreciate why it took me a while. Why even now there are times when I have to part of me is I step back a moment and I was like, right, okay. Whirl, we have come a long way. But this still happened. And so it was just...
Yeah.
Now at least it's there. At least it's there and some more context has been given on why things... people might have complex feelings towards Whirl.
When you're functionally immortal, there's a lot of time for character development.
Certainly. And that's kind of where I've gotten to now. I'm like, yeah, we've come a long way. And... I mean, even frankly, when we look at the way Whirl is with Megatron now, he's still a douche, but I don't know. There's also something, I feel like the Beauty and the Beast song, there's something sweet and almost kind.
Who's this? Springarm is his name?
Yeah.
Jerry Springer.
Jerry Springarm comes back in.
He's saying, Whirl, what did you... Don't do this. We gotta let this guy go.
Right? He stops him. He's horrified, of course. He's like, what the hell, man? This dude is being let go.
He's supposed to, walk out of here, dude.
Aw. And instead, he's on the floor bleeding now.
And
Whirl, of course, is speaking. We know something. Obviously, Whirl's been put up to this. And something else is going on here because he's like, Springarm, walk away. Pretend you didn't even see any of this. But Springer's like, no, we're letting him go. I'm taking him to go see the captain now.
And the captain.
Ah. He's this guy.
He's
a man who often changes his look.
Yeah.
Because he's no tyrant. He isn't vain.
Looks way different from how I've ever seen him, that's for sure. Sir Optimus of the Primes. Although here, please... Just call him Orion Pax.
Let's not be too formal. Just Orion Pax.
No need for anything so high-minded as Optimus Prime. I'm one of you. Call me Orion Pax, please.
That's the captain.
And he says, you must be Megaton.
Cute, shy boys getting their names mispronounced.
And you know what? It's not Megaton. It's Megatron. And he goes, oh, like electronic.
And that's cute. I like that name, he says.
And he says, hey, I read your book.
It's
real good. You don't sound like a guy who beats other guys up. And he says, well, I wasn't.
I know.
He
it's
doesn't
so
say
heartbreaking
that,
he
pretty
does not
much.
Say that. But we all know that that's...
Right.
Megatron's like, yeah, well, once upon a time. But I love this, because, yeah, Orion read the same thing that Impactor read and made fun of Megatron. Orion reads it, and he's like, listen, I don't agree with all the things you're saying here. And, honestly, let's face facts. We know Optimus can't even understand some of the things that we know Megatron was writing in there.
Let's face facts. Optimus can't even read.
Fact number one. I don't think that guy can read.
Optimus is like, I'm something of a writer myself, mostly spy novels.
don't forget, says, everybody, Optimus Prime in our time knows that his book is going to have to compete with Megatron someday. Just remember that. Keep that at the back of your mind.
And he says, I'm glad you're articulating your concerns.
At least you're doing something. Keep it up.
Which is the most like... white liberal, like, good. It's good to get that out there, as long as you just keep your nose clean.
You sound like a good boy. Just keep being good, okay?
Boy, and indeed he does keep being good. So good.
He's a perfect boy.
Here he is chained up again in post-war war still currently going Cybertron.
Yes.
That's weird. It's weird to read these books and know that the Cybertron War is still going on.
I know. Optimus is returned to Megatron, who, of course, has been restrained once more.
And he's like, all right, no more tricks. I'm not going to let you misdirect me. Why did you surrender?
Yep.
And Megatron says, "You mad, bro?" He's like, "Shut up, Megatron. Just tell me.
Come on." And yeah, Megatron's just playing with him. He's really good at that. He's so good at it. And yeah, he knows he's got Optimus rattled. And he just wants to know. He keeps asking, "Why did you surrender?" And Megatron's like, that's not what you're here for. And he wants you to rephrase it.
And Optimus says, like, "You've done so much damage." And Megatron's just saying, "Rephrase the question." He's like, "You've ruined so many lives." And he's saying, "Rephrase the question." And he says, do I what? Say it. I want to hear the words. He says, "Do you feel any remorse?" And Megatron goes, "No, idiot, dummy, moron. I would do it all again.
And I'd flick your nose right now if my hands weren't tied behind my back.
I'd do some cool karate kicks.
just close enough to your face that you flinch, but not enough to actually hit you, because then I could just make fun of you for flinching."
Yeah, you coward. and Optimus says, like, "None of it, really?" And Megatron's like, "I wish I could have done more. I wish I would have killed everybody."
Megatron's like, "I dream right now of just wading through a sea of bodies to kill more people.
I'm going to get out of here, and I'm going to kill you and everyone else."
That's what's about to happen, Prime.
"When I'm done killing, I'm going to kill some more.
I'm going to go planet to planet."
Yeah, he says, "As long as you or anybody stands in my way, I will respond by killing." Which is not, again, like, my understanding. It's not even that, like, this is different from the Megatron I know. It's that this is different from, like, the stated goals of Megatron as I understood them.
Right.
Like, the Megatron I know founded a movement of resistance in order to save the disenfranchised. And so, like, him talking about, like, "I just love killing" is like...
"I just love killing. He's Crombopulous Michael. you just hire Megatron."
Yeah.
No, you're totally right. And trust me, even going back and rereading this, it feels very weird. And even being somebody who knew the multiple forms of Megatron before getting to this, the Megatron I always wanted, which is the way James writes Megatron, even having known Megatron forever at this point, it still feels weird to go back to... I don't know. It's hard to... Like, God, I could just talk about this for so long, because it's hard to articulate exactly what I mean. And, like, have it come across the way I would want it to. But I think... But it does come back to the reason I like the way that James writes Megatron so much. And it's not even just because he writes him as a quote-unquote good guy. It's because we finally got... Exactly. Well, like you said, we finally got the Megatron who started a movement that was genuinely for the betterment of Cybertron. And then it got out of hand. Like, that was always my interpretation of it. And so it is weird when you get to the Megatron who is just bad.
He just loves killing.
He just loves killing.
Killing because it feels good.
So it's hard because, of course, because James wrote this, so this is James's Megatron, and it doesn't feel out of place. I don't know. It's very difficult to, like, kind of pinpoint and even, yeah, like, properly convey my thoughts on all of this. I don't know. It's because part of me, because then you could just be like, oh, well, obviously he's doing all of this to get a reaction out of Optimus. Which is what he is doing here. He is trying to get a reaction out of Optimus. Then you could be like, how much of this is him just really going for it?
And how much of it about this is honest and what about this is not?
Sure. So I think that's maybe the best place we could leave it right now and, like, are trying to understand this Megatron. I don't know. It's tough.
And so Optimus says, well, you know killing is bad. How would you like it if somebody killed you, huh? And Megatron's like, do it! You won't! and Optimus is like, well, you know what? Careful what you wish for, buddy. And he turns on the electricity.
Because Megatron's just trying to get a reaction out of him.
I am washing over, like, a big thing here where he's saying, like, without me, you would mean nothing, Optimus Prime. But just summarizing it as, do it, you won't, is a lot more, like, I feel emblematic of the conversation that is happening here.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I mean, because you're not wrong. Because it does boil down to that. It's Megatron trying to get a response. He's trying to go Optimus. And that's exactly what he does. And he succeeds. And Optimus knows it.
Yeah. But Optimus gives him the clamps. He gets shocked up.
He does. He does. The part that you very pointedly skipped over was, because Optimus is saying, like, oh, this isn't about me. This has never been about me. And Megatron's like, you're hilarious. Everything is all about you. If it weren't for me, you would be nothing. You love what I've made you. And
you'd be some dumb beat cop.
And he directly quotes Whirl, and he says, you would be just another Autobot, another wasted spark who left no trace, another nobody. Which is exactly what Whirl said to Megatron.
Oh, God. You know what's going to happen is we're going to fucking be in the Functionist universe, and we're going to meet, like, Orion Pax, as happened without, like, we're going to see what the result of this is. No. You know that, right?
Oh, my God, we are.
This is, like, we're going to see exactly what this is, what is being discussed here.
Oh, my God. You guys. we did
so there you go, everybody.
Oh, my God.
We will see if he was a wasted spark without Megatron. We will get answers there.
I'm afraid of alternate Optimus Prime or Orion Pax. I'm afraid. Oh, my God. Oh, man. Oh, that's good.
That's exciting and
rad. That's so exciting. Oh, my goodness. Okay, we'll continue.
Yes. He gets the shit shocked out of him.
Yep. And it does
hurt. There's a whole bunch of electricity up in him.
It's bad. It's bad. And as Optimus is doing it, he turns to the window where he did not close the curtains this time, and he looks right at Hot Rod.
Right, and he says, hey, everybody, doesn't look so friendly now, huh?
Yeah, still think I'm flirting? Want
look
me
at
to
me
flirt
proving
with
a point. I imagine a lot of bots are like, yeah, I do.
actually, that sounds great.
This but is yes. what I'm into. and Megatron says, you know, we met on Rodeon. You said it was Rideon, but it's Rodeon. And so he did know that was
he
the first time
knew
they met.
The whole time.
What a criminal mastermind.
He's always 10 steps ahead, that Megatron.
Oh, and that Megatron.
What are we going to do with him? Because of course, yes, Optimus let his emotions get the better of him. He shocked Megatron and he's leaving and he's just hating himself right now because he did exactly what he didn't want to do and what Megatron wanted. And he's talking to Omega. He wants to know why Omega Supreme didn't stop it. Like, why did you let me do that? Which is an interesting thing to request of the ship bot that you are living in right now.
Right.
But Omega straight up says, he's like, dude, I did. If yeah. I didn't step in, you probably would have killed that dude.
Yeah, he'd be way dead.
Yikes.
And Ironhide is saying, like, hey, did you ever figure out why Megatron surrendered?
Yeah, what's
and I was just
like,
yeah, I'm dumb. I'm going to go think about this. Bye.
I feel real bad about myself, Ironhide. I don't know if I want dinner. Just I'll see you later.
And so we cut back to
Rodeon.
Pre-war Cybertron, yes.
And Megatron was right. It is Rodeon, which
yeah.
we know.
We see the sign there, Rodeon Police. Optimus was like a cop at this place for like millions of years.
I thought that too.
You don't remember the name of the place here?
Yeah, you were a captain of the Rodeon Police Station. Oh, well.
It's been a long war.
Greg, we already established he can't read.
Oh,
Optimus,
I love
it.
Brutal.
But yeah, so we hop back to Rodeon back in the day, and Springarm is seeing Megatron off.
Right.
And we see the Megatron, the shy boy, who he speaks up finally. He's like, when I think of my name, I don't think of electronic. I think of neutron as in bomb. There you go.
He's like, yeah, I'm cool. And then he like flips his hair to the side.
Yeah.
And Springarm is like, yeah, okay, whatever. Go be nice.
Here you go. Be good. He gives him his journal back.
Immediately he starts littering.
Mm-hmm.
He just throws
Megatron
that journal.
Opens his journal. It's got a mirror on the inside.
Right.
Like a locker. And we can see he is no longer our sweet, innocent poet. He's angry now.
He's mad.
He's an angry boy.
And wouldn't you know it, he throws it into a giant sign that shatters in the symbol of the Decepticon logo.
There you go. It all comes together.
Happens all the time.
That's when I break things, it tends to end up in a Decepticon symbol.
So there you go. That's
it. That's the story intense. Of Megatron.
That's heavy. I can't believe that's how Megatron was born.
And we just never will find out what happened with him and Optimus on board Omega Supreme.
Yep. Oh, well. Well, Transformanauts, good to... Oh, wait, we got another one.
We got another one. This one, I think, will go a little bit faster. There was so much establishing in issue 22, which is great. Like, again, I could talk about these forever. But now that we have got so much established, let's get into see how this wraps up, how this comes together.
I want to say, I love so much, and this really just drives the point home, is in our copy, we have a digital copy here. As soon as you open it, you have the two variant covers, mm-hmm. with the A cover and the B cover, which the in the previous issue, it was current day, or I guess at time of publication, Megatron, and then old, like, minor Megatron. Mm-hmm. This is pre-war Optimus and then current day Optimus, but it looks exactly the same.
He really does. He looks much closer to his two forms than Megatron does.
Practically nothing discernible here.
But only tyrants keep their faces the same.
Only tyrants are obsessed with vanity.
What does that say about you, my darling Optimus?
And so we do go back to pre-war Cybertron here. Or I guess we stay there from the end of the previous issue.
Yes. So we're still at Rodian. It's nighttime now.
Yeah, we got some breaking news on the prime time. It's not from our married news team.
Yeah, not a married news team. But a news team. I'd marry this guy. It's Blaster. He's the news team. Well, and
he may be married to the camera person. We don't know.
That's true. He may be. James, do you want to
confirm or deny? Confirm or deny?
Let's go get answers from him. But yeah, they're reporting on essentially a bombing. A bot blew himself up when he was running towards Nominus Prime, which we know this event because this is the one that we know that the Senate did this. Because we've seen,
yes. This is just before Elegant Chaos stuff, right? This is like the instigating stuff we see.
Well, this is stuff right... This is during... Well, because Elegant Chaos, they jumped around to different points. Before Shadow Play.
Yes, that's what I meant.
Yes.
Right, yeah. Because I remember those two bots that we see outside of the place are like, well, that terrorist attack just happened and these blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
This is the thing. And you're right. As we know, this was set up by the Senate in order to justify their stuff to, like... Yes.
To
classify and then,
leading to, which they get into this, to it all in this issue as well. And so we'll get there. But yeah, this leads to a lot of things. And this is, but we know of this event. And so it's an exciting thing to go back now and read. And you're like, oh shit, I know what this is. We're again at the time, you're just kind of like, okay, I buy it.
Right.
Let's keep going.
And as this all of this news is sort of spilling out, we see the person watching it is Optimus, and we see his trophy case, which...
Yeah, kind of panning around his room, his space here at the police headquarters.
In this trophy case, he's got a big gun. Mm-hmm. He's got a bunch of Autobot symbols. He's got a couple of real big trophies and then a couple medals beneath that.
Yes. He's a very decorated bot, but he could not remember the name of the station.
Right.
Where he was.
Rideon? What was it? What was the name of my hometown where I grew up and served as a cop for a million years?
What was that again? But yeah, so it's just kind of giving us a sense like, oh yes, he's very well liked. He must be a great officer.
Right. People must really love him.
They just adore him. And so as he's watching the news, they are mentioning, they're like, oh, P.S., here comes the weatherman. And they're like, oh, there's a storm coming in. So, and as he's explaining that, oh, the signal goes out. Because of the storm.
A couple boys show up and they're like, hey, here's some ominous sounding stuff. Bad storm, right? Gonna get worse.
They look rough and rowdy, but also very pretty.
Right. They are very pretty boys. Do I know these boys?
I do not. I mean, besides having seen them in this book before.
Right.
I think they're just...
Just boys.
I mean, they would know your boy because they're showing up specifically because they're like...
Right. You remember that. They're like, hey, we run the police department in secret. We don't need any non-corrupt cops.
Yeah, what is this? This is a nice place you got here. It'd be a shame if somebody messed it all up.
Yeah, be a shame if you did your job without getting orders from us so we can keep doing crime. And they keep basically talking exactly like that, saying those things. And they say, we're looking for a friend of ours named Whirl. He does crimes for us. And Optimus is like, oh, yeah, I put him in jail because he does crime, and I don't believe in crime. And they say, get a load of this guy not believing in crime. I'll just keep going if it's going to keep getting a laugh. And they're just, like, hey.
Like, usually I try to just follow along with you and like be like, right, and then this. And now I'm just like, you got a whole bit going here.
Sure, I'll keep it going. And so they're like, hey, good thing that you don't know we're with the corrupt Senate. And Optimus is saying, like, yeah, I don't believe that would be breaking the law if the Senate was corrupt. And he says, the law? I ain't got much regard for the law. That's how Wheeljack sounds, by the way. That's Wheeljack's voice.
Wheeljack also sometimes dabbles in breaking the law.
I ain't got much regard for it. It's also Fred Flintstone's voice, by the way.
He also dabbled in cars that only ran when you pushed them with your feet.
Flintstones are the original Transformers.
It's
they
true.
Just have to put on kibble.
Technically. But, yes, so...
right, Optimus leans over and he goes, hey, I'm getting the feeling that you guys are into crime, and I don't like that. And they say, oh, geez, let's get out of here before the crime buster busts us for all the crimes. And so they get out of there.
Well, and yes, basically to sum all that up, they showed up to get Whirl. Optimus said no, he beat a prisoner, and they were like,
he was bad, he's in timeout.
That prisoner, he sucked, and it was just a misunderstanding. And Optimus is like, I don't care. He's going to stay in jail.
Right.
And they're like, but he's good. He served his time. And Optimus said, nope, you guys got to go.
And so they're trying to intimidate him and be like, we don't like any good boys. We're bad boys.
Yeah, you're going to mess with the wrong people if you don't give us our friend.
Don't you?
You're going to get the wrong people on your case.
You're going to, I bet we're going to come back in a couple pages and kill a bunch of people. And he says, yeah, I'd like to see you try.
I love it because Optimus says, are you done? Because I've got work to do. Which, Optimus, babe, we both know you were just watching
TV. You were
TV
watching
because
the
I
news.
Also always tell people I'm very busy and I'm like in the middle of an episode of some TV show.
We go back to the present day again, 6 years ago. And Ratchet is like, hey, you almost like killed him, didn't you?
And did you decide on Megatron's punishment? And Optimus is like, no, not yet. But yeah, he's like, okay, so you did freak out and like you.
Right. Electrocute the shit out of him.
Uh huh. And, and so Optimus is like, what am I, like, I don't, he's very mixed up here. He's saying, it doesn't matter what I decide, Ratchet, I'm gonna fuck this up.
Right, he's saying either we imprison him for life so he can alleviate his guilt, or he kills him for playing him like a fool. And he says, either way, it's gonna suck. And Ratchet says, well, like, can't you just, like, ask the Matrix?
Yeah. Does the Matrix know what you should do? Does it have any advice for you?
And Optimus is like, yes, but I don't wanna.
He remarks, and this is actually a very interesting point in all this, in this whole story, and it builds on more later, but yeah, he's saying Ratchet was there when he was given the Matrix.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, sure. They made you take the Matrix. And Optimus is like, yeah, that sucked. I did not enjoy getting
right.
the Matrix.
It was a very painful experience.
Yeah. So he's saying that, like, he interpreted this as almost like a tentative kind of relationship between him and the Matrix. That, like, the Matrix is aware that he didn't necessarily want it. And so he's now just saying, basically, he's worried he's had the Matrix too long and he depends on it too much. So, technically, yeah, he could ask for advice from the Matrix, but is that his
It's taking the easy way then, out.
Yeah. Or is it the Matrix influence? He just doesn't know.
And so we got back to pre-war Cybertron. There's these two guys racing around saying, hey, where's all the crimes?
Yeah, there's no crimes being committed.
It's almost like those crime boys aren't here.
Yeah. We just saw some criminals coming through here bragging about crime.
And then they go back to the station and Optimus is there. And he's like, don't worry, boys. Took care of all the crimes.
I did all of the crime solving.
I got all of them. Here's all the criminals. And there's like dozens of bots like in elaborate BDSM scenarios.
I was gonna say, if you didn't, like, you could just take out
right.
some of the words here and you'd be like, what
is especially
I'm hosting.
It's not like they're even just handcuffed, they're all like tied to poles, and it looks like in a still image like some of them are grinding against them.
It almost looks like they're dancing, like the way that they're like slung away from the poles. Just
it's like a Madonna video.
Exactly, like that.
And Orion is saying, so help me get this sorry bunch into their cells.
Yourselves useful.
And so later, he's like, well, we took care of all those. I'm going to go find more crime and bad guys. Spring Arm is like, are you really doing this? You're like, you gotta chill, dude. What's wrong? He's like, well, you remember that nerd who was in here earlier?
Remember that hot nerd who I read his book and you walked into his cell and Spring Arm's like, yeah, Megatron with an R, like bomb.
And he's like, well, I read his book and it was really good and I've just been thinking about it.
Yeah. And he wanted to ask three questions of the Senate.
Yes.
And he didn't get a chance. So maybe I'll go think about that some more.
And he's saying, oh, by the way, some it seemed like some crime boys were in here earlier. They paid me a visit and they said that they're part of the Senate security detail. They said that they do crimes all the time and that the Senate is corrupt. Do you know anything about this?
Springer, it was, first of all, like, didn't you catch them when you rounded up every criminal in the area? He's like, no, somehow they got away. But
yeah, I didn't see them. I wasn't really looking.
Yeah. But Springer's like, oh, wait. So the Senate,
if the Senate
corrupt,
is corrupt,
does that mean Megatron with an R is correct?
And Optimus is like, I just honestly could never see a situation where the Senate might be corrupt.
Like, I just don't see them wanting to hurt people.
Does not. They're a Senate. That's not
They've
what they do.
They've always been really nice to me. I don't see them being mean and, like, trying to be mean to people and committing crimes. I don't see it.
They're a Senate. They're supposed to be making laws. They wouldn't break them.
They would never break them. But he's
for.
a little off-put by this. He's a little disquieted.
He's really confused.
So they have a little discussion about the fact that, like, Springer's like, well, when I get confused and anxious, I go, dear Matrix, will you help me not be so confused? And Optimus is like, yeah, I don't believe in that stuff.
Optimus is like, oh, you're one of these guys. I'm busy on Sundays.
Which we know means he's watching TV. And,
he's just like, very dismissive immediately. Like, oh, I'm an atheist. Don't want to hear about it.
Like, bye, thanks anyway. But yeah, but even then, which, like, you can't not know. Springer's like Skids used to have. He has a
right. He's got
face.
A thing on his face. And Springer's like, well, you believe in the Matrix, right? And Optimus is like, I believe it's a thing. I mean,
I believe people believe it's powerful, but it, I mean, yeah, it exists. And Springer was just like, you probably think the Knights of Cybertron is a goofy thing too. And there they are again.
He says the Knights of Cybertron and then looks at the reader and winks.
It's so funny because I winked as he said winked. Because I knew exactly where you were going.
And Optimus says, I don't even think the Knights of Cybertron are real. Someday I'll let a second in command go on a wild goose chase just to get out of doing any work myself.
I'm going to send him off with that cute nerd from the mines. just to punish both of them.
Thanks, Springarm, but I'm busy. Bye.
Yeah, like, I am gonna go find some peace through the Matrix by finding some more crime, thank you.
And we still go to the present day, and we see someone who believes very strongly in the Knights of Cybertron.
Here's our boy, our champion.
And there's Rod, and he's saying, like, hey, I'm sorry about what I said earlier. And Optimus is like, No, I don't even know what you're talking about. Whatever.
And Rod's like, remember when I suggested you and Megatron were flirting with each other because I was super jealous because you're, like, both very attractive and I want to flirt with you both? I mean, what?
No, it doesn't ring a bell. Not really a thing.
I love that your Optimus and your Prowl voices become very similar.
Whatever.
When they're being dismissive.
It's an Autobot voice. And Optimus says, hey, I'm going to ask you a really big question I've never asked anybody that could mean a lot of things. And Rod is like, okay, I will make out with you.
It's like, it's happening.
I'm not dressed for this.
It's like, hang on.
I need more flames.
Or something, right? And Optimus is like, no, hang on. Put your
this pants
back on.
This is a Matrix question.
Right. How did it feel when you had the Matrix? Which, P.S., quick sidebar, everybody. Rodimus, prior to this, was known as Hot Rod. Megatron pretty much killed him. He blasted him right through the chest. It was kind of hilarious, but not, because, like, I like Rodimus and everything. Starscream had the Matrix. Hot Rod went to go get it. He got it. Megatron just happened to, like, also wake up at that point, so he was like, what the hell? And he just shot, yeah, he was like, you don't belong here.
He just shot the first guy he saw.
Well, because he saw Rod, he was like, oh, okay, I'm gonna kill you. So
it was a Han Greedo situation where he's like, if I don't shoot this guy, he's gonna kill me.
Basically. But yeah, so he, of course, using his cannon, so when he shoots Rodimus, it, like, goes through his entire body, and left him to die, like, out in space. But since Rod had the Matrix, it saved him, and kind of, so very much like Prime can hold it, and it's part of him, it was part of Hot Rod, and it was upon bringing it back and returning it to Optimus that he was knighted as Rodimus, like, he was given, like, his new title. It was crazy. But anyway, so there you go, a little background for everybody. That's why Optimus knows, Rodimus would know what it feels like to have carried the Matrix.
There we go. And Rod says, yeah, it ruled, dude. It was the best thing in the whole world, and I loved it, and I wish I could every day. As a matter of fact, you have it, like, on you?
Yeah, you still carry that? Can I get a hit off of that real quickly? And I'm just like...
He's like, it feels that good for you, too, right? It must feel so great because it lives in your chest.
Yeah, you get to have that warm, cuddly feeling all the time, right? And I'm just like, like that.
Yes! Absolutely. It does!
I love it. It's great.
I want to marry it. Bye! And so we go back.
Out of the room.
Right, we go back to pre-war Cybertron, and he's like, "Hey guys, got more criminals." He's literally dragging dudes in.
They're not even putting up a fight, Optimus. They're just.
But everybody, all of his other cop friends are dead, and their heads got ripped off, and they're like hanging up.
Poor boys. And yeah, so he sneaks back into the station, and we can see it's just wrecked up. And I think I know who did it.
Yeah, he goes down the hallway and he sees three guys and he's like, nobody move. And they go, oh, it's Mr. Doesn't Like Crimes.
Here he is.
And there's Whirl, too. Mr. Doesn't Listen to People Who would Make Him Do Crimes. Mr. Not Corrupt Cop. They're not very good at names.
No. But they found their friends. They have Whirl.
And Whirl is like, this wasn't my idea.
To his credit, yes.
Optimus
is like,
says, you're a liar. You're all liars. And they're like, no, we're not. We told you we do crimes.
We straight up said.
We were very upfront. We're criminals, not liars.
How dare you, sir? And to really drive it home, one of them shoots him.
Yeah, he gets shot in the back by the third guy.
And then he just fires wildly.
Yeah, he just blasts off with a choom, I will add.
Yeah, he chooms off Whirl's leg. His big honking legs. He's got very thick legs. I mean, he's got bird legs.
You know, he should really go for something more nimble.
Maybe this is what inspired it. He was like,
I like to think so. He's like, you know what? I'm going to get a total makeover after this.
He's like, I've been looking for an excuse to update my look.
And so he's like, I'm going to say something really sexual about wanting to see you scream. And he puts a gun up against Optimus's head. Not Whirl, but no. This other guy.
Yeah, one of the pretty crime bots.
Right, one of the crime boys. And Optimus does a very elegant, like, karate kick.
He looks like a ballerina. It's beautiful. Yeah. He just ballerinas him right off, and he runs.
And Optimus is running away, and he goes, I'm not really one for macho sound bites. And at this point, I said out loud, you fucking liar!
You love macho sound bites.
This is your thing you do.
You do it all the time. The difference between Optimus and Megatron is that, like, when Megatron says stuff that you're like, oof, that's a nice little quote there. It's just because Megatron is so, like, he's just a good speaker. So, like,
he's a poet.
Actually, from him, he's a poet. It doesn't sound forced. When Optimus does it, he totally sounds like he's in an action movie. Which I like. It's very different. I like it.
Even the follow-up line, he says, in this case, I'll make an exception. Like, fucking this Lethal Weapon motherfucker. This Shane Black dialogue, son of a bitch.
But he doesn't even get that moment.
No, because his gun doesn't work.
It doesn't have a charge? I don't know why it wouldn't. Like, I don't...
I think, well, this is his trophy case, right?
Yeah, he gets the gun out of
it. I think it's like a ceremonial gun.
Wouldn't he know whether or not it has, because they don't use bullets.
My assumption is it was like a ceremonial gun. Is like it's just
like it was just awarded to him, but he thought it was a real gun. Optimus, that's on you then.
Yeah, this is your own fault. That was my thinking.
You should have known.
Well, so if you're awarded a sword, I can imagine going for the sword and then not realizing, oh, they filed the edge on this down for safety reasons. Like, I don't think he's dumb, but he's pretty dumb for a lot of other reasons here. But the
but
crime
yeah, so
bots,
he's forced into hiding because he doesn't.
He ain't got no weapons.
Yeah, so now he's just behind his own desk. With the body of Springarm. He's like, well, shoot, I'm in a real pickle now.
Now I've done it. Yeah, they're peppering him with fire shots and everything. And he picks up his medals and throws them at them as a distraction.
He's like Autobot symbols. He starts like gambiting them towards them. They're like, oh, snap. They're just mildly inconvenienced as they like ping off of them.
They're like, that cut? No, but it kind of messed with my clear coat.
Yeah, man. Gonna have to touch that up. Dick. And so as they're distracted by it was like two of them gather around the third and they were like,
right.
Oh man, that is, yeah, you're gonna have to get some new paint on that. And as they were distracted, Optimus drags his friend's corpse into a closet with him.
As you do.
He's like, okay, at least we're in here together. Now I've got some thinking to do. What am I gonna do?
What am I gonna do? And so Crime Bot makes a pun about facing things head on because he ripped the heads off those other guys.
And they're like, oh my god, that's funny.
And Optimus says, like, hey, my buddy's corpse is still warm. I bet I can use him.
Yep. It's pretty it's a pretty grim little thing. That he does. He because they're like, what's going on? Because he can't transform. That's
right.
Part of the thing.
Yes, he says that
big.
The room is too small for him to transform and roll out. And so he says, "Springarm, forgive me for what I'm about to do." And he manually transforms Springarm into being a motorcycle, which is one thing. Like, I get it, survival, whatever. Do you have to do a bitchin' wheelie out the door as you do it? Like, this is your buddy's corpse.
You know what, though? If I was Springarm, and listen, Greg, I'm telling you right now, if somebody tears my head off and you could
turn you into a motorcycle and do a wheelie on you?
I insist. That would do me more justice.
I've added that to your file.
Thank you. Right? Like, I would much rather be used to make an awesome panel like this. He looks great. I love Orion Pax.
Sure, yeah.
He's an action hero. It's why he gives us ridiculous one-liners and is catching all the crime everywhere. He looks great.
He sure does.
There's a lot of hissing and whistling going on to Optimus Prime and to Orion Pax from me in these books.
And so he's just punching dudes in the face now and giving them their robot Miranda rights.
Yeah. There's another, which is another very like action-y like
right
bit. I'm going to beat you up and read you your rights.
Yeah, I'm a cop.
Any questions?
A hot fuzz. And so as this is going on, he like snaps off his own exhaust pipe and jams it into dude's mouth.
It's crazy.
It's phallic.
He's intense. It's very phallic, yes. And that does it. Because we've seen him catch all the crime everywhere. So we're like, three dudes, he can take them on if he gets
He's really
edge.
Good at stopping crimes.
He's really good at it. And they told him that they are crime. But somebody got away.
Yeah, we see Whirl limping away on his one leg.
Crawling away.
And Optimus is like, hey, get back here. and Whirl was like, I didn't ask for this.
And he almost sounds threatening to Optimus, but he's like, listen, if you do anything to me, you will be hunted down. And I'm not trying to threaten you. I am trying to warn you. Like, this is a thing. Which, again, knowing Whirl the way I know him and the way we all know him. What now? It is easier because now I can go back and look at this world and have an edge of sympathy for him.
Sure.
Whereas, like, initially it was me looking at current world and not being able to lose my edge of judgment towards him. But yeah, he's basically like, I'm in with the Senate. They're corrupt.
As
those guys may
have
mentioned. Yeah. But he's saying you can walk away. And he kind of plays back, parodies the Miranda rights, and is like, yeah, if you walk away, anything
right.
you say will be used to destroy you. Or if you don't walk away, but yes.
Right. And so we go to the Grand Imperium seat of the Cybertronian Senate, and there's a big Senate meeting going on.
And it is just fancy-dancy in here.
Yeah, and they're saying the head of security is weeping out the culprits of this terrorist attack that occurred, we remember
right.
from the beginning of the issue. And this guy keeps interrupting Sentinel Prime and saying, like, hey,
well,
there's a guy here.
Yes. So Sentinel is the head of the security
right, yes.
team. And Senator Proteus is the one speaking and talking about all these things they're going to do to try to crack down on terrorism. And we can see, he even says he's going to protect the populace by clamping down. So this is the start of the clampdown.
Right.
There it is.
Curfews,
course,
containment, and capital
yeah.
punishment. We remember trying to create the Decepticon registry to, like, kill them all.
Right, which was Proteus's promise. So this is
right.
all leading to these things that we've now all seen. We know how these all play out. So it's interesting to go back and see the roots of them. And but yes, as this is all happening, as Proteus is talking to everybody here, yes, somebody from the security team keeps going up to Sentinel, and they're like, hey, this guy, like, beat up our guards outside, and he got in. And Sentinel's like, send, like, twice as many people to stop him. Like, I don't care.
Just, yeah, fix the problem.
Yeah. Why are you coming to me with this? It's one dude. Do something.
And he's like, he's outside.
Yeah, like, he keeps coming back. He's like, okay, but now he got past those guys. Okay, but, and then the next time he comes to him, the guy coming to Sentinel is all busted up. And so we're like, oh, he's like seen him firsthand now.
Right. And there's Optimus saying, like, hey, everybody, I'm going to interrupt the Senate meeting because I think I'm cool.
I think he's cool, too. Look at him. He looks great. You guys,
he looks
so good.
He's
his
got
mask
Whirl
is
over his shoulder. His mask is broken.
He's beat to shit. Oh, he looks great. A lot of hissing and whistling at OP in these books.
And the whole yeah. Senate is like, well, this is unheard of.
What is this? They're all, like, losing their monocles. They're like, what? Their pocket watches are flying out.
He's saying, this guy has convinced me that maybe the Senate, and I know this sounds weird, so I'm going to need your input on this one, may be corrupt?
Yeah, he throws Whirl to the ground.
Right.
This pile of garbage here.
This
is making
mook.
Me think, maybe
go make a clock, you loser.
But he's, and part of the reason he brought Whirl with him is because he knows, I mean, Whirl straight up said, like, listen, I'm in with these guys. So Optimus is like, great, let's go face them down and I will show them, hey, remember how you paid this guy and these other guys to try to fuck with me? Nice try, but it didn't work. And now I'm coming after all of you.
Now it's on.
It's on.
And he's saying, you know, this miner from Tyrn I talked to, and he's saying, you know, I'm starting to think this Senate thing might be something to really go over a second time.
Yeah. I read this dude's journal. He talked about how much you guys sucked. And I was kind of like, he might be a
ruling
bit harsh.
Elite who's terrified of anything they don't know how to control. And he says, other races have a name for us, Autobots. And it comes from automaton, which means to lead a routine, monotonous life. And that's not what that means, Optimus. I'll go over this in a minute.
Oh boy.
He says, and that's all we are to you, isn't it? Automatons. We're just robots that you get to control and manipulate. But me, I think I'm an Autobot because I'm autonomous. And guess what, Optimus? Let's talk about Latin for a minute, my dude. Guess where the word automaton comes from? It comes from the word autonomous. Automaton means to move of one's own accord. Like, trust me, dude, I know a lot about robots. Why don't you back up here? I get the metaphor you're trying to make, but relax it on that word. It means a lot to me.
There you go. James drew for his blood.
And so Optimus is saying, question, he's got the three questions that Megatron
it's
wanted
so
to ask.
Good.
Yes,
it's
very
so good.
Because
finally, yes, Sentinel's like, because initially, of course, they're all like, nah, let this guy talk. I want to see what he has to say. And then
I
really want to
see where he's going with this after killing all of our men and dropping one of our corrupted payroll men on the ground in front of the entire Senate.
Let's see what he has to say.
God, I would pay money for that to happen in Congress one day. Someone just busts in after, like, going through Secret Service stations, and John McCain is like, wait a minute, let's hear him out. Mitch McConnell or whoever.
I'm on it. I will do that for you.
He's like, this just might be crazy enough to work.
This just might be. But finally, they're like, I guess maybe we should stop that guy. And Proteus is like, Sentinel, are you not going to do anything about this? Come on, man. So finally they're dragging him out. And that's when he gives the three questions.
Right.
Which I learned, I did not know this at first, but it's a quote from a British politician, Tony Benn.
There you go.
But yes, the three questions are, in case anybody has not read them, they're very important. Everybody should be asking them. The question one, in whose interest do you exercise your power? Question two, to whom are you accountable? And question three, how can we get rid of you? And good questions.
Yeah. Good to know, everybody. And so then we cut to Megatron's cell here.
Yes. We go back to the past modern day in Omega Supreme.
Yes. And Optimus is saying, like, hey, I thought it over, and I'm going to sound really heroic by just stealing your words, just like I did years and years ago. Freedom is about choice, so I'm going to give you the choice if you want to die or be imprisoned. Yeah. And Megatron is like, all right, I'll die, because I don't want to deal with you. You suck. Shut up.
That's exactly what he says. No, he just says death, which, yes, it's very funny the way you say it. But even when I was reading this, I care way too much about these robots. Even when I was reading this the first time, even knowing he's Megatron and you really can't do anything to him, like he has to be here. Even reading this, I was still upset. I was like, no, don't do
that. We need that boy.
We need him. We need him to be around. Though I do wonder, I was wondering that, like, as I was remembering that, reading this, I was like, I wonder if part of it was because I suddenly had so much more, like, invested than in Megatron after reading just these two issues. It was because and I say this all the time and I mean it, like, I get the way James writes Megatron is the Megatron I always wanted. So I feel like part of it had to be that, like, oh, wait, no. I just finally got him. I just finally got to see this guy. Yeah, don't die. We have so much more to do. But yes, that's Megatron's choice. Of course.
Of course. And so we cut to Optimus out with Ratchet. And Ratchet's saying, like, huh, this matrix you had me take out of your chest sure is cool. So that you can make this decision unguided by it.
Yes. We know, obviously, yes, he gave the Matrix to Ratchet so he could phase Megatron without its influence. I do love Ratchet. It's cute because he says, it's a neat little thing, which I'm like, Ratchet, you're holding the Matrix. But he does mention that he had it, like he was wearing it when he was working with Sunstreaker. And prior to this, Sunny had hurt his legs. And so then he could just suddenly walk after this. And that's, but that's part of what.
Some real Matrix shit.
Some real Matrix shit. But Bob, who we all know and love, he was kind of like Sonny's little helper pet at first. Because Sonny, yeah, he was just in a chair. So he, Bob was his little helper. And he still is, just by being here. But yes, Ratchet gives this neat little thing back over to Optimus.
Yes, and Optimus says, I needed to know if I was really still the same person I was before the Matrix. And Ratchet puts his arm on Optimus' shoulder and goes, I could have answered that for you. And then they kiss.
They do. It's very sweet.
Very, very sweet. and so we go to pre-war Cybertron, the Ark 1 Memorial Grounds, which we've seen before.
We have seen before. Look at this guy.
It's a frequent meeting place of Optimus and this man next to him.
His very handsome, this dashing lover.
Yeah, very handsome, probably lover. Yeah. Right, this is their first time sort of meeting.
This is their meet cute. Though I guess technically their meet cute. Yeah, this could be it. Because
the Senate. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he says, thank you for agreeing to meet me. So there you go. I'll take it.
Yes.
And Optimus says, well, yeah, I mean, you're probably the one who got me out there safe, right? And he's like, well, yeah, because a Cybertronian of your caliber could get locked up in Garrus 1, or worse, sent to the Institute.
We know what that is.
Was that a thing before this? Is this the first mention of the Institute? Is it another one of those things?
I think it was. If it would have been mentioned before, I would imagine it would only be like in passing in the text stories. Yeah. So we do get so many things first show up in these books that
there's a lot of you fought in the Clone Wars types of lines.
But yeah, because even, of course, the Senator, like at this point, it didn't, you know, because even in during Shadow Play, we just were like, oh, here's that pretty Senator. He's back.
Right.
We don't know who he is until the end of Shadow Play. But now going back, you're like, oh, God, I know who he is now. It's even worse. But yes, and it's Optimus being like, why? But you're part of the Senate, so why did you help me when I specifically went out there and was like, the Senate sucks. I hate you guys.
And yeah, he's saying that I think the attack, the terrorist thing, was orchestrated by the Senate. And Optimus is saying, like, wait a minute, how can the Senate do crimes?
He's still very surprised by this.
And he's saying, because they're corrupt, Optimus, they need an excuse, a scapegoat.
Yeah. They have unlimited
access to the Matrix. So that they can create life with it. And he goes, the Matrix can create life?
He looks so sweet and innocent and surprised there. And I'm just like, oh, baby.
And he says, the Knights of Cybertron, wink, called it the Creation Matrix. And they can control anything with it.
Yes.
And there's a war coming up, Optimus, that will split the world in two.
Ooh, he was right about that. Battle lines are being drawn. Sides are being taken.
I do love this because Optimus is like, well, what's my role in all of it? And he's like, you're just a cop. Go to work. Nobody cares about you.
Why are you still here? Your beat started 10 minutes ago. And Optimus is like, wait, before you go,
I feel physically different. I have a thing happening in my lower body. and he says, yeah, a lot of people do that when they see me. And then he smacks his own ass.
Literally, that's what happened. But Optimus is like, did you do something to me when you were, quote unquote, getting me repaired?
And he's like, that would be creepy if I did. So, yes.
Super creepy. That's pretty fucked up, Senator. But we all know, yeah, it was him being like, I want you to carry the Matrix. And we see it.
Yeah, good old Senator Shockwave is known to do interesting things there.
He pulls his strings, and it's not always the most moral thing. But you're like, I mean,
the thing that he did, or at least one of the things that he did, was to empty out his chest cavity and make room for a Matrix.
Mm-hmm. If you look inside yourself, Optimus, which he calls him Optimus in that third to last panel.
Oh,
and I
yeah.
don't know if that's a mistake or if that's on purpose.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, so it might just be a typo. It might have just been an accident, or it might have been him being like, that'd be a sweet band name. Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you look inside yourself, you might find the answer. Boom. He looks in his chest cavity. Oh, a Matrix could fit in here.
Crazy how that works.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. So that's the intro to the heartbreaking insanity we now get to deal with on a monthly basis when it comes to these books.
Everything is so much clearer now.
But yeah, so we got some... I don't know. It's interesting to go back to it. And so I'm sure it's even more interesting to go to it for the first time.
It mostly leaves me a lot of questions, like, what the hell happened with Megatron? Like, obviously I know what happens in the long term, but, like, what was his plan there?
So there are books, because of course, yes, there's a lot of these do
get better. Is it stuff that someday we may potentially cover?
Yeah, because yes.
You don't need to tell
Because there's the Megatron
me.
Origin books. So yeah, don't worry. I won't go into great detail on what happens. But yes, there are books where these are sort of supposed to, these fit in before Megatron Origin. And sometimes newer books will kind of retcon things in older books. So when we do start hopping back like we do right now, or like we did this week, there might be instances where it's like, okay, so this happened, but it's kind of been retconned. But in this case, yeah. We've just kind of left Megatron. The last we see of him is we know now that he has abandoned. Well, and that's a really interesting thing, and why also, because obviously I love these issues. They're really, really great. And we get some really good insight to both Optimus and Megatron. But part of why I love it is that it's heartbreaking because they were so close to being a united force. You know what I mean? Like Optimus reading or Ryan reading Megatron's journal would have put him, and even when he's facing down the Senate, he says, my friend Megatron.
Right.
He's a
minor
in
time. It seems very much like...
Like, Optimus wanted, or Ryan would have... And
would have
even
been
see
a
the
Decepticon.
Way, yeah, like he... Or, yeah, like, essentially they were just days apart from being on exactly the same side. And that's what's so interesting, is that they've always wanted the same thing. It was just... Megatron was almost like a... Megatron was a burn it all down, build it back up. And Optimus's was a restructure. Like, just fix...
Right, fix it from within.
Yeah.
It can't possibly be that corrupt.
What? My Senate? Nah. But yeah, so it's... But I don't know. I love these so much because, yeah, it also gave us... And please, again, remember... keep in mind that these were brand new. Like, this... everybody who has started reading at Death of Optimus Prime onward, you've had the gift of this, looking at the post-war, but this idea of going back and looking at pre-war and looking at, you know, pre-war Megatron and pre-war Orion and everything, these books specifically were so novel that it was mind-blowing. And to think that Optimus's ideals came from Megatron's writing,
What a crazy situation.
It was wild. It was, yeah, I loved it. Obviously, I still love it. But yeah, so I'm really glad that we got to go back and look at these books.
Me too. And I want to, again, thank the folks that we dedicated this show to today. Orr and Chen, correct?
Yes. Happy anniversary, you two.
Yes, happy anniversary. It was Orr's idea for us to cover these books specifically. So thank you for that.
Yes, it was a good suggestion.
There's no better gift in the world to give for an anniversary than Sound.Wave. So
she chose the best thing.
Whatever Chen is doing in response better be pretty damn good, because I don't know if there's
better
anything better in the world than us. but yeah, thank you for that. And I think that's going to do it for us. Thanks to all of our lovely patrons as well.
Yes.
David Cabrera, Jay Riley, Samuel Jocks, the Fifth Virtuoso, Kyle Schaefer, Bitty Bot Jazz, and Elizabeth Jackalope. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
We will get back to probably Optimus Prime next week, correct?
Yes, I think it's just more OP for us in our future.
Great. Love that boy.
I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be good.
Me too. It should be a lot of fun. And so I think that's it. Transforminauts. It was, look at these baby pictures of you.
Yeah.
Look at you from 6 years ago.
It was a different era.
You were so little.
You were so small. You were only two stories high.
You were only two stories high.